the cards that the children gave to Renee this morning said something about that there were not enough wages to give. There's not an amount of money or adequate words to express the appreciation to you mothers here this morning. And you are mothers indeed. There are mothers and there are mothers indeed. And I said earlier this morning, but I'll say it again, and I don't think y'all get tired of me hearing say it. You are some of the best mothers in the world. I believe that. And I want you to know that you are loved and you are appreciated for your time, for your sacrifice that you give for us. As we're my mother's here today, that's kind of a rare thing on Mother's Day. But she was there a whole lot of Mother's Day and days in between when I was growing up. And now to have a wife that is filling that same role for my children, loving and caring and sacrificing and giving. And I would that God bless all of you mothers here in a very special way today. So thank you. As we consider mothers and what they are and their duties and responsibilities, the Lord began talking to me. And I'm going to have to be brief. I know we're kind of short on time. And so I'm going to give a brief overview. And if some of you all come to camp meeting and hear some of this again, you just pray extra hard for me, okay? But the Lord's been talking to me about the church as being a mother. And I would like to just give, as the Lord gives time today, a brief overview and some of the highlights the Lord's been dealing with me about. As the body of Christ, we are called to be a spiritual mother to the children. As the body of Christ this morning, we look on and we say, we're the church. What is the church? The church is everybody that's saved. Everybody that has an experience with God. And we have a responsibility to be a mother to the newborn children. You see, in a natural mother, it's one thing to give birth to a child, but see, that's just the beginning. Some people can say, well, I gave birth to a child, so I'm a mother for life. Well, you had a child, but motherhood is more than just bringing a child into this world. Motherhood is about the sacrifice. It is about the time. It is about energy. It is about giving of oneself when you don't feel like it. Being a mother is about doing for others when you would really like to go to bed and put the cover over your head, so to speak. Being a mother is cleaning up messes that nobody likes when the children get sick. And don't children get sick? And sometimes they make a mess and there is something that is revolting about that sometime. But a mother is there to nurture, to care for, to clean up afterward. A true mother does not say, oh, you're sick? Well, I'm sorry. Let me know when you get better. But a true mother is one that is there when there is a sickness and when there is a need and they're there to spend some sleepless nights. In prayer, in cooking for, in cleaning up, in caring for. That is a mother. And as the body of Christ this morning, that is our call as well. I've asked Renee before, I said, do you think there's something about women that they have a mother gene? You know, something different than us men folks. She told me it wasn't different. But there is responsibility. And so you sisters have risen to the call. You may not have a mother gene, but there's something that you have risen to the call, that you have a higher calling than any other calling on this earth. But as a church, as a body of people this morning, we also have a responsibility for those that are sick this morning. We have a responsibility for those that have needs in their spirit. And it is one thing, there are too many people today that when a problem comes along, that are spiritually sick, to say, I wash my hands of this and I'm finished and I will only deal with well people. But Jesus came not to call those that were well to repentance. He came to call the sinner to repentance. He came to minister to the sick. Those that are whole need not a physician. This morning, our call and our responsibility as a congregation, as a church, as some of people that love God, our call is to minister to the sick this morning. our call when there are those right among us that we can look at and say, they should have known better. Who is going to be there to minister to their need? Who is going to be there to minister to your need when you get sick? Because, you know, in our service to God this morning, all of us have times that we start getting a little bit sick. There are times that all of us, saved, full of the Holy Spirit, that we get weary and worn with the trials of life. And in those times, I will speak personally, I have needed someone to come and give me some affirmation. And I will acknowledge this morning, there have been times I've gotten it, and there have been times I haven't. And when I didn't, I sat back and saw, does nobody know that I'm hurting? And even you can almost verbalize it, and no one still says anything. And you're thinking, I need a mother. You know, I need someone to come and just give me some affirmation that maybe I know you're struggling with something, or you've been hurt, and we love you. Whose responsibility is that this morning? It's yours. It's mine. It's the mother's responsibility, because we can talk about the church as being an entity separate from us. Yes, have you ever said, well, the church just isn't what they ought to be? You're talking about yourself. Are you being what you ought to be? Well, the church ought to be showing more compassion. The church ought to be doing this and that. Who is the church but those that love God? So that means we need to bring down and come down to where we live this morning and recognize we are called to be a mother. We are called to nourish. We are called to care for. We are called when my brother or sister in Christ makes a mess. Do we sit back and say, oh, brother, you messed up, clean it up? Is that what a natural mother does? No, she goes and gets the rags. And sometimes she says, here, you need to go get some cleaner and, you know, come help. But she's there to assist. And when our children make a mess, we say, oh, you're not one of mine. No, they're there to love. They're there to forgive. They're there to be long-suffering with. The church is to be a mother this morning. May God help us. In Galatians, in the 4th chapter, in the 26th verse, the scripture says, but Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all. Talking about Jerusalem, now that's talking about spiritual Jerusalem is the church. And that is the church of God. Not because the name's on the door out there, but because God's people are the church of God. And it is to be the mother of us all. In other words, consider this. And there is more in that scripture that we could get. We don't have the time to deal with it this morning. But he said Jerusalem is above, which is above, is free. In other words, Jerusalem was he gave the analogy of the two children of Abraham. One was born of the bondswoman. One was born after the law, and the other was born of faith. The other was born in faith. In other words, it represented freedom. But the church as a mother is the concept that I would we get hold of. The church is a mother, the children of faith. You see, I believe that Mary is a good example. Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was divine. But yet Mary was given the responsibility to nourish and care and take care of Jesus as a child. It is the same way as a body of people, we do not bring forth of our own merits salvation in people. God is the only one that can save. We are not the door to God this morning. Jesus Christ is the door. And any time we are not here for self-promotion individually, and we are not here for self-promotion as a body of people, I do not have the grace. I do not have the ability to save anybody. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. But when people are saved through Jesus Christ, we are to be the mother. We have a responsibility to care for and look after and teach and instruct and guide and set an example for. Isn't that what a mother does? That's our responsibility as the body of Christ this morning. And as we consider that subject, remember this. The scripture says, and this is just a little caveat to the burden this morning. The scripture says to honor thy father and thy mother. Now, we honor our father and mother only until it comes to a place in our obedience that it conflicts with God's call for our life. So if my mother were to tell me to do something that is a violation of Scripture, I need to obey God rather than my mother. So keep this in mind. As a body of people this morning, our allegiance is to be to Christ. We do not worship the mother. We do not venerate Mary. As some religions do, they exalt her and lift her to a place that they pray to her and expect the flow of grace to come through the mother. But I want us to understand the only grace that we have to offer to those in our midst is as it comes through God Himself. So we lift up and we exalt God. There are some people that said, I am part of you and I will be here. In other words, my allegiance is to you people. My allegiance this morning is to God. Our allegiance is to be to God, because if a congregation deviates from God, I'm going to leave. If a congregation deviates from truth and will not be God's people, then I have a higher calling to follow the Lord. But when people love God and they are worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, there is to be an honor to that body of people. There is to be a respect to the mother, that this is a place we can come and be fed. This is a place that we ought to be able to come, and this ought to be a safe environment this morning. Do you recognize when we come to service, whether it be in this congregation or in any congregation of God's people, it ought to be a safe environment. That people from all walks of life, they don't have to look like you look. They don't have to act like you act. But it is a place that they can come and know there are some people here that love God. And they're going to care for me. And they're going to lead me and instruct me and set an example for me. So what makes a safe environment? Whose responsibility is that? It's easy to blame the preacher sometimes. But that environment, it comes from your spirit. It comes from my spirit. It comes as we live and operate in the spirit of the love of Christ, that when people come, they will feel this is safe. And when people feel safe, they grow. You know what children do that grow up in homes where there's fighting and bickering and strife? Those children cannot wait to get out of the home. They can't wait. There are children that I know, they want to leave where their mom and dad are, and they just like to go places because there's so much turmoil in the home. You know, as a body, we are called, as a church, we are to be a mother. We are to be bringing about an atmosphere and an environment among us that people can feel safe. And if there's quarreling and envy and striving and bickering, do we feel safe? Can we make ourselves vulnerable in those situations? We can't, can we? Folks, this is our call this morning, is to be a mother. Consider, and do you know, a mother has a lot to do with the environment that's in the home. You find a home that's in chaos, you will find children in chaos. As the body of Christ, folks, we are called to show and set an example of long-suffering and love and forgiveness and kindness and meekness and safety. I believe children prosper. Children bloom in that kind of environment. That is the environment that the Lord would have us to fill as a mother this morning. There is a scripture over in Isaiah 66 and 8 that says, shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? When Zion travailed, she brought forth children. When she travailed, there was a process involved. It took time and energy, and it took some sorrow sometimes. Folks, our burden as a mother this morning ought to be to bring forth souls through Jesus Christ. That we would be there to create an atmosphere and an environment and a place that people can come and be moved in their spirits to be drawn to the Lord Himself. Because of our example. Because of our joy in the Lord. Because of our relationship with God. But you see, after birth, like I said earlier, it's not over. It's just getting started. And we pray for people to be saved. But have you noticed something? Many times that people get saved and they get saved over and over and over. Have you noticed that? The devil is vying hard for their souls. As a mother, we cannot keep someone saved, but I believe as a mother, we have a responsibility and a call to do what we can to bridge the gap for people that have given their heart to God and want to make it, that we can be there to help support them and sustain them. Say, well, they're saved, we can stop praying now. No, they're just getting started on their journey. Children need nourishment. They need some milk. They need care. That's our call as a church. That's our call as a mother this morning. You see, I consider the passage over in the 12th chapter of Revelation where he said, I beheld a woman. She clothed with the sun. She stood on the moon. The moon was under her feet. She had a crown of 12 stars on her head. And she was with child. And you read down through that 12th chapter and it said that when she was ready to be delivered, it was speaking of the dragon, the forces of the enemy, that it was awaiting to devour the child. This morning, every time someone gets saved, the enemy is right there ready to devour them and try to pull them back to the sin. They still have choices and decisions to make. I can't make those kind of decisions for people, but what we can do by the help of the Lord is realize when a child is born, there's danger of disease. There's danger of infection. The enemy will try to pollute the innocency and the purity of their life. And as a body of people, as a mother, we need to be cognizant of that when there are those that get saved among us to realize they're in a dangerous place. The enemy's going to try to draw them back. What can we do? What can we do as a body to help fortify the newborn among us? We were in Amish country recently, and I've heard people talk about Amish cooking, and I don't take away from it, but I told Renee, I said, I get this all the time. Home cooking. And it's not just my wife. Again, y'all are some of the best cooks in the world. You know, say, oh, Amish cooking. We could have Church of God cooking, and, you know, it's good cooking. But part of this, as mothers, there is a place that is often filled of cooking for the family, of nourishing, of taking care of. As a mother, as a church today, we have a responsibility to feed the flock. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the ministry. Do you know environment is created by your spirits? When people come in among us, are they welcome? Or do they feel standoffish because you're dressed differently or look differently or act differently or you're just, oh, you know better than what you're doing? Or do they feel a people that are there to put their arms of love around him and bring him into the fold? Do they feel a place? Is there a place this morning as mothers, as a church? And our job then is to cook and provide for. There is a time, and it was touched on in Sunday school, there is a time of feeding children milk. You don't take a newborn baby and say, I like filet mignon or T-bone or whatever. This is, you know, give them a New York strip. This is the best steak there is because it's good for me. I want my children to have the best. What would y'all think if I took a little baby and started forcing a steak down his mouth? That would be abusive, wouldn't it? As a mother, as a church, we need to be careful, folks. We need to be careful that different people are at different places in their experience with God. And it's not all based on the length of time that they've been around. Okay? Too often we judge things by, well, you know better, you were raised amongst the saints. That's not good enough. There is a time and a place, but folks, as a mother, there is a time for milk. There's a time for the simplicity and simple things of the gospel. But there is also a time for broccoli and steak. There's also a time for vegetables. And there comes a time in people's life that they may say, well, I don't like steak. I just want to stay with milk. But do you know after you get a certain age, if all you drink is milk, you're going to be unhealthy? You will be prone to disease. You will be open to being malnourished. And the danger on the flip side of that is people say, oh, they just need milk. And it's like they're dying. And we just keep giving them milk. There's some time for something stronger. It takes the Lord to give us the discernment to know the difference. But I want to encourage us as a mother this morning. Let's be led of the Lord. Let's be careful. Someone comes to the altar and prays. Say, oh, you want to be saved? Well, let me give you the list of what to do. You just need to back off. See, we need to back off and give the Spirit of the Lord time because babies don't need steak. They need milk. And after they've been established and start growing, then's the time you start introducing some of that spinach and broccoli and things that are eat applesauce and they build up to the steak. And sometimes you go to camp meeting and there's a steak dinner and you get on, well, this is not an accusation, I said you. People can get on the preacher a little bit because, oh, they just need to be preaching milk. No, we are a mixed people. There's a time for milk and there's a time for steak, and the Spirit of the Lord will help all of us to get what we need out of what the Lord sends. So be careful about your judgments and indictments as well when the Lord does send this different, this smorgasbord of messages during camp meetings as well. Read a story about a woman by the name of Monroe, Mrs. Monroe. She had 8 children. And she had gone to town and she came back from town and she found her children in a circle in the living room. And they had 5 of the most beautiful skunks in the living room playing with them. And they were just having a good time. And she lost control just a little bit. She reacted. And she said, run, 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 get out. And so all the children grabbed up a skunk and squeezed it tight and ran different directions. The moral of the story was, don't squeeze the skunk. I've got a message for the ministers. Don't squeeze the skunk. Got a message for the congregation. Don't squeeze the skunk. You see, there are going to be skunks. Sometimes children will get hold of snakes and skunks and things that are dangerous, okay? They shouldn't do it. It's wrong. It's a problem. It's destructive. But we are facing today problems and difficulties because someone squoze the skunk. So when there is a problem, if the mother would have come in and said, we've got a problem. We have an issue. And deal with it calmly. Deal with it as the Scripture teaches us to deal with it. You would quietly say, okay, children, we need to quietly get up and bring these skunks outside and let's take care of it. And they would have avoided a mess. Now we're talking about the church as a mother. But you see, because of her reaction to someone's action, there was a more forcible reaction to that action. Don't squeeze the skunk. You meditate on that. It doesn't mean leave the skunk in the living room. But sometimes as a body, as a mother, we are guilty of squeezing the skunk. A mother's love. You see, fear. The reason the mother did that, let me just say this and we'll move on. The reason that happened was because the mother was afraid. And she responded out of fear, and it caused someone else to squeeze the skunk. Hence, they had a mess. A mother's love, sleepless nights, cleaning up the mess. You know, a mother has a vested interest in her children. When a mother looks on the children, she ought to see part of herself. This is part of me. And when we look on those among us as a body this morning, as a mother, I would that we would see someone. This is someone that's wanting to serve the Lord. This is someone, maybe they're struggling, maybe they're sick. But remember what a mother does. She nourishes and she cares and she loves and she sacrifices. That's what a mother's love does. I remember read a little story called a boy's name Johnny. He was in school and the teacher said, now, Johnny, she said, if your mother comes, and she said, how many people do you have in your family? He said, 6. And so she said, so your mother comes and she cuts the pie and you get a piece. What fraction of the pie do you get? You know, and he says 1/5. She said, no. She said, how many people are in your family? He said, 6. He said, 6. So how many do you have when it's cut up for everybody? How many? He said, 1/5. She said, you don't understand. He said, no, teacher, you don't understand my mother. See, when there's not really enough to go around, she doesn't want any. She doesn't want any. Isn't that what a mother does? What about us as a church this morning? How are we doing? This message is in no way meant to be an indictment on anybody or anything, but I would that it be a challenge that we could rise to our call to be a mother. As a church, it means giving up. Sometimes it means often. It means giving up my personal comfort zone that someone else can be ministered to. It means giving up what makes me comfortable. It means some sleepless nights. It means when my brother or sister is in trouble and it's easy to say they ought to know better and I think I'll go along on the other side of the road. The question is, who's going to go minister? Who's going to love? Who's going to sacrifice? Who's going to clean up the mess? Who's supposed to do it this morning? Well, brother so-and-so ought to. I want to tell you something. There have been some times in the last number of years that there's been some children that have had trouble. And I assumed that someone was there to care for them. And do you know what I found out through the years? I found out I get in trouble when I assume anything. I've heard people get in problems. Maybe a brother, sister in the Lord, they just really dropped the ball. They just really made a mess somehow. And we think, well, you know, there's people that are going to be there to support them, encourage them, and help them. And then later on down the road, they tell me, nobody called me. Nobody was there. I'm thinking, what's wrong? Whose responsibility is it? It's ours. If you know your brother or sister's in trouble, consider what a mother would do. She would be there to love. She would be there to forgive. She would be there to help restore. She would be there to bind up. And I want to add this as well on that thought, that we provide, as we provide an environment of safety and assurance, of acceptance. See, there should be a spirit of acceptance. Isn't that what a mother does for her children? And you mothers know this, when nobody else can stand your children, you still stand them. You know that? It's true. As a church, as a mother, we ought to be there with our arms open. There is a difference in someone being welcome to be nourished and fed in the body as opposed to someone filling a position of leadership in the congregation or in the body of Christ. And that is where there is a difference. When it comes to people filling a place of leadership, there are qualifications, scriptural qualifications, that they need to meet to be part of that leadership in the congregation. And that is where sometimes there come difficulties and things have to be dealt with. But outside of that, we welcome everybody to come to service. We welcome everybody in our midst, and when they come, we ought to be there to make them feel warm and accepted and welcome. A mother is there not to kick her children out when they misbehave, but it's to show them a better way. A mother that had 12 children, I'll try to wind this up. Mother had 12 children. Someone asked her, said, which of your children do you love best? She said, the one that's sick until they're better. And the one that's away until they come home. That ought to be who we are as a people this morning. We love when they're sick and when they're gone and when they've left and they do know better, that they know the door's open. Our love is here. We're waiting. Our arms are open. And we're there to restore them to their sonship or their daughtership. Because the church is to be that kind of mother. We then that are strong ought to do what? Bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Who is strong? Who should be strong? I would say it's the mother. We ought to bear the infirmities. That means sickness. That means when people are spiritually sick, as a mother, we are to help bear their burden. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, don't assume anything, folks, but step up as part of the mother and support and pray and encourage. And the scripture also says, him that is weak in the faith, Romans 14:1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Do you recognize who's weak in the faith? About the time you look at someone and say, I think they're weak in the faith, they're looking at you on the same thing saying, if they really knew better, I think they're weak in the faith. See? There's a place then that we need to learn to accept. Not false doctrine. No. The mother is to set an example. That's why I gave the caveat in that position of leadership. There are requirements. That's not what I'm addressing this morning. But as a people, as a mother, to provide an environment that people feel welcome to come and be a part. Jesus told the story of the woman that lost one of her coins. And she searched diligently to find the coin. Folks, the Lord has called us as well to search and seek for those that are lost this morning. As a mother who loves, there are people this morning that, there are some people they don't want to be looked for. They don't want to take your call. They don't want to see you. I've had people do that to me. Had to come to a place of decision. What do I do? And there is a place to take a step back. But there's also a place, and I told my wife, I said, there are people that are going to hell because of how they're living. They're going to hell. On their way to hell, I still want them to know I love them. I still want them to know that we're still there. And whenever you get ready to turn around, there's a people that love you and care about you. Who's the mother? There are times the mother, let me just close with this little thought. The mother is the church. The mother are those that are saved. And that includes a lot of us here today. So who is it we're supposed to be ministering to? The newborns? Those that are older? But do you know, there are times I need a mother still today. That's personal. Is that okay? There are times I need a mother. There are times I need someone to care for me and let me know, Michael, you're doing okay. Or if I'm not doing okay, to say, I love you. What can I do to support you? I'm here for you. There are times I need that. My point is this. It's easy to put this off on other people. It's easy to say when we need the help to say, where is everybody? But the question is on the reverse side of that, where are you when someone else is hurting? So see, we have a mutual responsibility then as a mother to bear one another's burdens. To be there for each other, to share and care and love. I appreciate your time and attention this morning. May the Lord bless us that we would bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ, being the mother, caring for one another. Amen.